Be dismissed. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is a joy to see the sanctuary filled with the family of God today. It is the last Sunday of the Advent season before we will celebrate Christmas this upcoming week. And so all throughout the last month, we've been lighting these candles, these different Advent candles. We had one for hope, one for peace, one for joy. And today's candle that we lit was the candle of love. And what we've been talking about is in the English ministry, we've been talking about how it is that God and Jesus Christ alone is the one who can bring true hope. Jesus Christ alone is the one who can bring true peace. He's the only one that can offer true joy that lasts forever. And today we're going to talk about the greatest love, the truest love that Jesus Christ alone can give to us. Now, love is something that's very interesting because love requires relationship. And so you wonder, what did love come from? How did love originate? Well, what we believe about the God that we serve, the God that we preach about, the God that we live for those of us who are believers of Jesus Christ, God existed before anything and everything else. There's only one creator, and that is God. And it is He who spoke everything else into existence. So where did this love come from? Well, we know that our God that we worship is three in one, that our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so you see, God Himself is the origin of true love. Because even within the three persons of God, again, three in one, not three separate people, but three persons, one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there was love that abounded. And because of that love, God created the world, and He created humanity, human beings, people like you and me, for the purpose of overflowing that love onto His creation. So God is the origin of love. In fact, He is true love. But there's something that happened. There's something that happened that cut off this love in a way. When sin came into the world, so too did brokenness in the world. Difficulty, hardship, but also the relationship that we had with God that was supposed to have this perfect love, it became broken. But God did not get rid of humanity. He did not destroy humanity. No, He knew that He had a plan to rebuild that relationship that was lost. And it would come through the love that we see in Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look at John chapter 15 together today. And we're going to look at verses 12 through 17. And we're going to talk about this love that God offers to every single one of us here. Now, it's not your typical Christmas message, but for all of us who are here, my hope and my desire, my prayer, is that you will see, experience, and know the love of Christ. If you're not a believer of Jesus Christ and you're here, praise God. He wants you to know who He is. If you are a believer of Jesus Christ already, let's not forget who Jesus is in His love for us. So let's go ahead and read from John chapter 15, verse 12 to 17. This is the Word of God. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Let's pray one more time before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. I thank you for every single person who's in this room. God, you have brought every one of us here for a reason. I pray that no one would leave this place without hearing your truth. That no one would leave this place without coming to know you more deeply. So whether we are not Christians and we're interested in learning about Jesus, or if we're just here because we're here to see family, or we're here because we have been a part of this church and we're serving and we want to know you more deeply, no matter what reason we may be here, God, we know that your reason is that you want everyone here to know the true love that you offer, that all we have to do is accept, believe, and receive, and that our lives can change forever. So be with everyone here. Open up hearts as only you can. And be with me as I preach your word. This is your word, O God. Thank you for the opportunity to share it with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, a lot of times when we're living in this world, we learn about things, important things, like love. And in the world, oftentimes we see being taught that love is something that you can earn from someone else. You see, you have to prove that you are deserving of the love of another person. If you are strong enough, if you are smart enough, if you are capable enough, if you are beautiful enough, if you do enough right things, if you are righteous enough, or if you do more good things than bad things, then you might be deserving of the love of someone else. The world often operates like that, where it's all about what you have to offer. And if you don't have much to offer, then well, maybe you're not very deserving of love. In this world, love can be such a conditional thing. It can turn on and off. You know, we have an English, you know, phrase or idiom where you talk about falling into love. Who here has heard that phrase before? I fall into love. I've fallen in love. And it sounds good. It's like, oh, wow, falling in love. But if you fall into love, you can fall out of love. And so then it's not so romantic, is it, when love is just how you feel at a certain point, when love is just something you give when it's comfortable, when love is something that you look for just all about you to receive, then it can come and go. Someone can feel like loving you for 1 month, and then decide the next month, well, I'm not going to love you because I don't feel like it. Or maybe you're not giving me any longer what I wanted. And so, no, I don't love you anymore. See, the world's version of love is kind of this give and take. If I give you what you want, then you give me what I want. I'm trading my love for your love. Aren't we like that sometimes in our relationships? But God's love is something different. You know, the saddest thing is when you see people who truly believe that they do not deserve to be loved. That's the saddest thing, when someone actually believes that they are not worth the love of anyone else, of any other person. They feel like they just haven't done enough. They feel like they just could never do enough to be worthy of love. They've made too many mistakes, so who could love them? They have too little to offer to someone else, so who could love them? And so there are people, maybe some of us here, who have felt that way before, rejected because we simply didn't have what someone else was looking for. But the amazing thing about Jesus Christ and the love that we preach, that the Bible teaches us about God's love, His perfect love, the greatest love, is that His love is given to us, is offered to us, not because what we can give back to Him, but simply because He is love. Look at what it said in verse 16. You did not choose me, I chose you. Think about that. Don't get it twisted. Sometimes we think, oh, I made the decision to choose Jesus. Yes, that's true. But you had no part in making yourself worthy of God's love. God doesn't say you have to build yourself up and prove yourself to Him in order to receive His love. No, all we have to do is say, wow, Jesus, what you've done for me. Thank you for your love. And we receive it. You see, He chooses us. You did not choose me, but I chose you. We don't have to try to show that we're holy enough to be chosen by Christ. We don't have to prove that we're good enough to be chosen by Christ. No, He chooses you even when you do not deserve to be chosen. And that's the amazing, great love of Jesus Christ. That's why it's called grace. That's why we teach grace. It's not about what you can give, what you can offer. It's about God and what He offers, His amazing love. So there's just two points that I'm going to talk about today. And the first is this: we have to know Jesus Christ's love. Okay? Know Jesus' love. And the second thing is this: that Jesus' love gives purpose. Jesus' love gives purpose. So those are the only two things. Know Jesus' love, and Jesus' love gives purpose. So let's start with that first point, that we must know Jesus' love. Look at what it says in verse 12 to 14 again. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Now there's an awesome thing about the love of God. And what I've just shared even before, that we cannot prove ourselves or make ourselves worthy of the love of God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did you guys hear that? While we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died on our behalf. Now that's an important thing to think about. It doesn't say, while they were getting better and doing more good things, Jesus Christ died for us. That's not what it says. It says, while we were sinners, while we were separated from God, while we had nothing to offer to God, that is when He chose out of His love to die for us. So this is the love of Jesus that we have to know. This is the love of Jesus that's going to come into our lives and remind us of the purpose that we have in this world. And so we see here the commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And what Jesus is doing here, he's sharing out of the experience that he's going to take. Because he has been getting ready to do something on behalf of his friends, on behalf of his disciples, on behalf of the world. And it's exactly this. Greater love has no one than this. That means this is the greatest love, that someone laid down his life for his friends. And Jesus knows what he will do. He's going to go. And he's going to die. He's going to lay down his life upon the cross. He's going to be the sacrifice for the world so that they might have forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. That is Jesus Christ's love. Do you know that love? Do you know that love? Not just do you know about that love in your mind, in your intellect. Oh, I've heard that story before about Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, do you know that love? Have you experienced that love? Has it become something that has changed you in your life? Something that is working itself out in your life? You must know this love, this great love of God. I started thinking about that. What an awesome thing, because, you know, we talk about the cross a lot, and we think about that, but when we think about Christmas and we think about the birth of Jesus, he came, and a lot of people might answer, well, why did Jesus come into the world? And a lot of people would answer, well, he came to die on the cross for our sins. But we can't negate and forget about the whole life that he actually lived in this world as a human being. Now, Jesus Christ was fully man, but still fully God. And so in his humanity as a human being, while still being fully God, he went through everything that we went through in life, but he never sinned. You see, his relationship with God, it reflected what ours was supposed to be at all times. He always obeyed the will of God the Father. He always was connected with God the Father. And what makes it amazing when he's talking about greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Well, Jesus Christ, he never did anything wrong. So for him to lay his life down for another, it's an extraordinary thing. It's a necessary thing for our salvation. If Jesus Christ in this world committed some kind of sin or disobeyed God at any point in his life, then him dying upon the cross for us, it doesn't hold any power. But he lived in this world. He faced temptation. He went through heartache. He experienced humanity in full, but never gave in to temptation, never lived for himself, but always for the glory of God. And so it means that much more, that love is that much deeper and stronger as he lays his own life down for those who would believe in him. He did all the work that was necessary for us to be saved. Do you know the love of Jesus? It's Christmas season. Even in that, we make it so much about ourselves. What am I going to receive? I wonder if this person cares about me. Are they going to get me something? And maybe we think about giving too. But maybe we give with the expectation that they're going to give us something back too. Do you know this love of Jesus? It's absolutely selfless. That's the grace of God. He gives like this without expectation that we can offer anything in return, but he gives of himself completely, and all we have to do is receive. Have you received that love? Have you experienced that love of Christ? Do you know the love of Jesus? You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work hard for it. You don't have to make enough money to buy it. You can't. You don't have to get strong enough to receive it. You can't, no matter how strong you might be. You don't have to become smart enough. You don't have to become righteous enough. You just have to receive. That's the love of Christ, our God. Do you know his love? Now, if you know his love, as I know many of you do, then you know that your life cannot be the same. You know that your life can no longer be about you and what you have to offer, what you can give. Your life has a new purpose that's more than just bettering yourself or becoming a successful person. Your purpose changes. It's no longer about you. It's all about Christ. And so that's the second point is this, that knowing Jesus' love gives us purpose. Look at what it says again in verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You see, Jesus has given all of us who believe in him a purpose. He has appointed us to go and bear fruit. Now, bearing fruit, that's the question. What does it mean to bear fruit? Well, unfortunately, many people in the world and even in churches, they think that bearing fruit a lot of times just means that you are prospering as the world prospers. So to live a fruitful life means that you have a lot of money, success, power, status, relationships, whatever it might be. Bearing fruit has become synonymous with worldly prosperity, even financial gain, abundance, avoiding troubling situations and circumstances. And that's kind of what the prosperity gospel, the false gospel of the prosperity gospel has done. That if you believe enough, bearing fruit means you're never going to get sick, your bank account's always going to be full, your family's not going to have any strife or difficulty or tension, but that's not what the Bible teaches us about bearing fruit. You see, bearing fruit is not just about bettering our situation. It's like, oh wow, I can't wait to bear fruit because my life will be amazing. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. You see, bearing fruit is not self-improvement. Oh wow, I'm bearing a lot more fruit these days. I'm a much better person these days. That is not what Jesus Christ is talking about. When he talks about bearing fruit, the purpose of that is what? So that others might know Christ. Did you hear that? Bearing fruit is not just for your own benefit. It's to benefit others around you. That means your families, your coworkers, your church family, strangers that you might walk across and come across on the street. In every relationship, if you are someone who knows the love of Christ and has purpose to bear fruit, that means that, again, because your life is no longer about you and what you have to offer, you're actually offering Christ who loves you. You're offering the love of Jesus. So in the way that you live, in the way that you go out into the world, the way that you work, the way that you speak, the things that you do, that when you're bearing fruit, people are going to know Jesus Christ and his love. It's a purpose that God gives to us to serve, to give of yourselves to others. Just think about how much life we make it about. We want to be served. You do for me. I want this. I want that. This is what I want. And Jesus says, go and bear fruit and let it abide. And when you ask of the Father, he'll give it to you. But what are you asking when you're someone who's bearing fruit? You're asking that others will be blessed, that others will come to know Jesus Christ and his love in the way that you have for yourself. So I want to ask you this question. Are the people around you getting to know Jesus? Are the people in your life, in your life, your family, your friends, your classmates, your coworkers, are they getting to know who Jesus is? It doesn't mean you always have to say it verbally even. It doesn't mean that you have to carry a big Bible with you to work or to school and to say, see, look, I believe in the Bible, I believe in Jesus. It means simply if you're bearing fruit, there's something about you that people sense is different because it's not you, it's Jesus Christ and His love that is in you. So I ask you again, do the people around you, by how you live, by how you speak, by how you treat others, do they know Jesus a little bit more? It's a challenging question. Even as a pastor, yes, I preach. And so I can say, well, yeah, well, people know a little bit more about Jesus because that's what I do. I teach about Jesus. But with my life, how I treat my wife, how I treat my son, when I speak to our church members who are in pain and going through difficult situations, do they see Jesus and His love in me? You know, I have to ask myself, am I bearing that kind of fruit in my own life? Because you can't fake it. You can't pretend to bear fruit. You bear fruit when you know the love of Jesus. And you know, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful that Christianity and faith is not about me. I'm thankful that Christianity, that faith in Christ, it's not about me, about what I can give, what I can offer. You know, there's a lot of freedom when it's not all about you. Even as I preach right now, it's not about how great I can speak. It's the Word of God. And He's called me to go and bear fruit. And for me, He's called me to bear fruit and share in this kind of way as a pastor. But He's called you to do the same. Maybe not as a pastor, but as a mother, as a father, as a brother, as a sister, as a church member. God has called you to go and bear fruit, so that those around you will benefit, so that those around you might know the love of Jesus Christ. When you know the love of Christ, you want everyone to know about it. When you have a relationship with Jesus, you want everyone to have that same relationship because it is so amazing. So amazing that God, who loved the world so much, would send His only Son into the world. So amazing that son would grow up and live an obedient life, perfect life, and then give His own life, lay it down for His brothers upon the cross. That He would take the punishment that we deserve for our sins. And that He would take that upon the cross. That is the love of Jesus Christ. That is the love that we celebrate. Love come into the world. God Himself, Jesus Christ, in the flesh. And in verse 15, this is what it said. It said, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you." Wow. The God of the universe, He calls us friend. The God of the universe, who created everything into existence, He calls us friend. We can be a part of His family. We can be in a good and right relationship with Him because of what Christ has done. And it says, "All that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Isn't that an awesome thing? That's why the Bible, the Word of God, is so important. There's nothing left out, and there's nothing more to be added in. It is the complete Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. The Word of God that shows us clearly the love story from beginning to end. And that's what it's about. The amazing love of Jesus. So I pray, my hope for our church and for all those who are visiting, I hope you feel that love in this place. But I pray that all of us here, as we go from this place, that we would follow the command of Jesus, that we would go and bear fruit. And you know how the only way we can bear fruit and live out that purpose is to truly know the love of Christ and go deeper in that. Understand his love more. Grow in your relationship with the Lord each and every day. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. I'm not perfect by any means. It doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes. But when you do, you fall on the love of Christ again. And remember that it's not about what you have to offer, but even in the midst of your failures, Christ's love abounds. And people can see how you react. People can see how you draw on the love of God to continue to try your best to live for him. Because he's done everything needed for us in our salvation, in our new life with him. Let's be a church. Let's be people who bear fruit so that the world can taste and see the amazing, greatest love of our God. Let's pray together. Let's just take one moment to respond in prayer before I close us. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. The love and grace of Jesus Christ is offered to you. Do you know the love of Jesus in your life? Again, not do you know about his love. Do you know his love in your life, in your heart? Maybe you've been to church for a long time, but you've never had a love relationship with Jesus. Right now, if you pray and say, God, I want to have a relationship with you. I do believe that your love showed so clearly when you came into the world and then you died on the cross for my sins and then rose again. I believe in you. I want to have that kind of faith and that kind of love in my life. Then you know what? If you pray that prayer, God will receive you. You know why? Because it is he who chose you. He brought you to this place to hear the message of the gospel. So will you respond and receive his love? If you're already a believer of Jesus Christ, would you just pray right now and say, God, I don't want to forget your love. I know your love. That's how I became a believer of Jesus. But I don't want to forget it. I want that to be the starting point of every day of my life, so that I remember my purpose to bear fruit in this world and to have others know who you are. Can we just pray that? God, help me to bear fruit, not for my own benefit, but so my family, so my friends, so those around me would know you, oh Lord. Let's pray for that for just a minute, and I'll close us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much again for your word. We thank you for who you are in your love. God, we thank you that when our relationship with you was broken because of sin, that you did not just leave us dead and lost in our sin, but God, that you had a plan of love, great love, the greatest love, to send Jesus Christ into this world. And that he lived a perfect life and then gave his life upon the cross. And we thank you, God, that he also rose again and that there is victory over death and sin. And for us who know the love of Christ, we know that this is a reality now in our own lives and that we now have a new purpose. Renew that purpose in our lives over and over again. Help us not to get too busy in life, so busy that we forget the purpose that you have called us to, that you've told us to go and bear fruit, And may we live our lives so that others would come to know you as their Lord and Savior, and so that many, many more people will come to know your love, and they too would go and bear fruit, and they too would share your love, and that people will be saved and forgiven, and that they would have new lives in you where they could bear fruit, and more and more and more, so that people would have this eternal life, this gift that you have given to us. Thank you for our church, that we are a church that teaches and preaches this love, the greatest love. And all these things are only possible because of who you are and what you have done for us. God, we can never earn it, and we can never deserve it. But God, you give us your love freely by your grace, and we thank you for that. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.